Good morning, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to CPFL Energia's fourth quarter of 2011 earnings conference call. Today with us, we have Mr. Wilson Ferreira Jr., CEO of CPFL Energia, and other officers of the company. This call is being broadcasted simultaneously on the internet at the investor relations website of CPFL Energia at www.cpfl.com.br/ir, where you will find the banner for the presentation. We inform that all participants will be in listen-only mode during the company's presentation. Afterwards, there will be a Q&A session when further instructions will be given. Should you need assistance during the conference, please press star zero for an operator. I would like to remind you that this call is being recorded. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are being made under the safe harbor of the Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1996. Forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of CPFL Energia management and on information currently available to the company. Forward-looking statements are not guarantees of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of CPFL Energia and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Wilson Ferreira Jr. Mr. Ferreira, you may proceed.
Good morning, everybody, analysts and investors that follow us in our conference to present the Q4 of 2011 results. I would like first to mention the highlight for Q4 of 2011 on page number three. Our result is very much driven by these highlights. The first one is the growth in sales in our concession area of our eight distribution companies, a strong growth in Q4, 4.6% growth. You can also see some difference between our concession area of distribution companies and the behavior in the regions where they operate. The second block of remarks has to do with the transactions made by CPFL Renováveis, a company that we created during last year, and that is very active since its inception. Here we highlight not only the conclusion of the acquisition of the Santa Luzia SPP in December, but also the conclusion of the integration of CIFI at the end of the year. This year already, some other transactions. One was recently announced 2 days ago, cogeneration of biomass by Ester, Usina Ester, 111 million reais. That was closed in March this year. The Bons Ventos Wind Farm, 157.5 MW in operation for 1,062 million reais, closed in February. The acquisition of the Atlântica Wind Farm, 120 MW under construction by CPFL Renováveis, and the transaction happened in January. By announcing this result, we are proposing a payout of 1,506 million reais in dividends related to 2011, which means a dividend yield of 7.1%. During this period, we concluded 703 million reais investment in Q4 2011 and 1.9 billion in 2011 overall, with a CapEx estimated for the next 5 years of 8.3 billion reais between 2012 and 2016. We believe it's important, stemming from the integration of CIFI, I would like to mention the increase in the stake of CPFL Renováveis by means of two of our subsidiaries, and now our stake is 63%. Also in the case of the Epasa, due to a decision at the beginning of the year, we had an adjustment in our stake going to 52.75%. We highlight some financing obtained in the case of BNDES for the SPP Salto Góis, and as a consequence of these actions in distribution and generation, the appreciation of our stock by 34%, exceeding the Ibovespa and the IEE, and this also occurred in the United States at the New York Stock Exchange with 26%, exceeding Dow Jones, which was 5.5%. For the seventh consecutive year, our company participates in the Bovespa Sustainability Index. During this presentation, we will have the opportunity to go into details on page number four, just to update you on our business. No variation in our free float, in our control block, and maybe some other details about the businesses where we are involved. Already highlighting CPFL Renováveis, we see the 63% stake in the company, and also more details about the division between commercialization and services. Now going to page number five. In the next couple of pages, we tell you about the energy sales by the company in Q4 and in 2011 as a whole. On page number five, we have the sales performance in our concession area, 4.6% growth, which is the weighted summation of growth in the captive market, 3.2%, and also the growth in sales to free consumers in the concession area of these distribution companies, 8.5% increase. Besides the captive sales and the free and captive markets, we have the behavior of 2.3% growth, and we practically maintained our energy sales stable in the free market. 4.6% growth in energy in our concession area. The highlight here is the commercial segment, 6.8% growth, residential segment, 5.3% growth, and also industrial, 2.8% growth in this quarter. Overall, together with others, 4.6%. Here on the right, there is an important comparison about the potential of our concession area for the eight distribution companies in the regional comparison and in the national comparison. Brazil last year in this Q grew by 2.8%, and our sales went up 4.6%, and this is driven by an expressive growth in the southeast region of our seven distribution companies, 4.2% vis-a-vis 1.6% in other distribution companies in the same region. Also an important behavior of RGE in the south, 6.4%, when the south region went up by 4.5%. In the next slide on page number six, you can see a similar behavior, 4.9% in the total areas of concession, slightly higher. Here we are talking about 1.7% in the captive market and free consumers, 14.7%. 4.9% at the end of the page, you have the concession sales, a similar behavior than the one in the Q4. Commercial, 6.6%, the strongest. Residential, close to 5%. Others, led by rural and the public power, 6.1%, and industrial, 3.9%, amounting to 4.9% total. In total sales of energy, a 1.1% growth, 1.7% in the captive market, and a drop of 0.7% in commercialization, 52,090 GWh, 1.1% growth year-on-year. On the right, in a comparison per region, you can see a similar behavior. The group grows 4.9%, whereas Brazil, 3.6%. In the southeast, the group grows 4.6% vis-a-vis 3.5% in the southeast. In the south, 6.5% us and 4.2% the region. It's a very important performance in the regions where we operate, which reveals some evidence on page seven, the potential of our concession areas where we have our assets. On the upper part, you can see the projection of opening of new shopping malls in the next 2 years, 25 shoppings being constructed, and we have 14 in our concession area. And on the right, we see the behavior of the residential segment. And comparing the last 10 years up to 2010, and a projection for the next 12 years. You can see in São Paulo State, 11.4% growth in this period, and in our area, 14.1%. On the lower part of the slide, you can see that this behavior should be maintained, 7.7% growth estimate for São Paulo, and in our concession area, 9.5% estimate. From IBGE and LCA, a similar behavior in Rio Grande do Sul, two of the six shopping malls in our concession area, and a higher growth in the number of consumers, be it in the recent past or in the future, that is projected here. So you can see that the two segments that drive and that have low voltage, that is to say, a higher average tariff, they have a differentiated behavior in the concession area of our distribution company. So having made this introduction, let's talk about the results on page eight. We have in IFRS the format reported and published, and the format that we believe is more adequate, especially for analysts in terms of evaluation of the recurrent earnings. And here we have a table on the lower part of the slide with what was considered non-recurrent in EBITDA and net income. IFRS, we report a growth in our net revenues of 7.1%, reaching R$3.4 million in Q4, with a growth in the EBITDA close to 1%, reaching R$978 million in this quarter, and net income growing by 22.6%, reaching R$443 million in this quarter. When we talk about the recurrent results, considering the expenses regarding the structuring of our operations, be it because of the merger with Exos or the integration of Juntos and Piratininga, the sale of assets that we sold in Q4 of 2010. So the non-recurrent events are quite low, and the impact on the EBITDA line for our net income results, besides the provision of our ITO of CPFL Piratininga in terms of net revenues and other regulatory assets and liabilities with smaller variations. But considering all these non-recurrent events of this year, they are of a lower magnitude, and we have practically the same behavior in terms of our net revenues, reaching $3,370, and recurrent EBITDA slightly higher, R$989 million in Q4, 18.6% growth year on year, and net income R$448 million, slightly higher than the one reported, 19.8% growth. So be it in the recurrent result or the reported result, here we are talking about very important results coming from the activities of our group. And when we go to the next page, the results for 2011 as a whole, the whole year, we have an additional non-recurrent events here. And here I would like to mention first the incentive-based redundancy program, an initiative that was negotiated with the labor unions in order to make retirement feasible. 450 people, more or less, are being impacted, R$450 million investment, which allows us to reduce our cost already with this amount of R$225 million annually. So this is a major investment, not only in terms of economic results, but also the modernization that we will be able to have and a change in our cater at right now when we will have the periodical tariff reviews. I had already mentioned the expenses regarding the structuring of ERSA and Gentus, the ISS provision for Campos Novos HPP, non-recurrent in Q3, the difference in the cost of energy of EPAS in 2010, it was reported to you already in the last few meetings, the accounting adjustments because of depreciation and the UBP of the plant because of the IFRS provision for labor contingency of CPFL Paulista 2010, an action that we had that was paid for, and PIS/COFINS of Paulista and Piratininga, the net positive effect that we had over 2010, and the sale of assets of Piratininga, 11 million in the last quarter of the previous year. The total non-recurrent is 31 million for EBITDA effects in 2010 and 68 million negative in 2011. And the same behavior here, 23 in 2010 and 58 here net income. But we are reporting, as I said before, a result for the year, a growth in our net revenue of 6.2%, reaching 12,764,000,000, 12.5% growth in the EBITDA, 3,789,000,000, and on the last line, net income, 1,582,000,000 reais, and the recurrent amount means 4.2% increase in 4.2% in net income increase, 14.8% increase in EBITDA, reaching 3,786,000,000, slightly higher than what was reported, and on the last line, 1,583,000,000, 4.4% increase. Okay, now let's talk into details about EBITDA and net income. Let's turn to page 10. Our EBITDA, as you can see on this slide, here we are considering the inner part of the sources, so reporting 810 million reals to 978. And the major driver here is the increase in our net revenues, which is made up by sales in the captive market and the tariff adjustments, 3.2% increase in sales to the captive market and the tariff adjustment 7.4%. accounting for 314 million. Increase in the TUSD, 13 million reals, 4.1%. And besides the additional revenue of the HPP at the end of 2010, Porto Chapecó, and over 2011, CPFL Renováveis, amounting to 80 million outside the group, and the total is 108 million. And these 80 million are posted under the rule of offsetting an 11.7% increase in revenue deductions from this great growth in these three elements of growth, 166 million overall, mainly the increase in sectoral charges, 65 million reals. So we had an important increase here, 219 million reals in our net revenues, and followed by a very slight increase of 0.1% in the cost of energy and charges, 2 million reals, and also followed by a 12.5% increase in operating expenses and costs, amounting to 48 million, stressing that the recurrent result, exception made to the startup of Foz do Chapecó, Epava, and CPFL Renováveis due to consolidation effects, the gain with the sale of assets of Piratininga that I have already mentioned before last year, and the expenses for the structuring of the ESA and Gentus, which are non-recurrent, the reduction of CPFL generation and the higher recovery of bad debts of RGE. These are non-recurrent, so exception made to the non-recurrent effects, the three first ones, we have a personnel account, personnel PMSO recurrent dropping by 2.4% or 9 million reals. And we are doing this on a comparison with the IGPM of 5.1%. So this is a very important result, growth in the market, volume and revenues accompanied by a slight increase in the purchase of energy and charges, and a reduction in the recurrent operating costs of 2.4%. So you can see this is a very clear picture of our strategy and the efficiency or the search for efficiency by the group. When we go to page 11, you can see the net income details, and the major driver for the growth is 362 million to 443, stems from, especially from the increase of the EBITDA, 20.8%, 168 million. And on the other hand, there is a reduction in this variation due to the deterioration in the financial results, 56 million, and we tried to separate them in order to facilitate your analysis, a 49% increase in financial expenses, 131 million, especially focused on investments that we made and acquisitions and the pre-funding as well, reminding you that we have the whole set of deals, especially last year when we were able to settle beforehand some of our commitments. And in 2011, we are having a rolling of 200 million reals. So this is a very adequate strategy by means of which we were able to borrow resources, raise resources in very favorable conditions, and settle some of our commitments and increase the term of our debt, which is very important. And on the other hand, the increase in the CDI for our financial expenses, this is an important factor, 0.11 percentage points, 9 million reals, and the effect of the exchange rate on the Itaipu bills, 13 million reals. Besides, the startup of Chapecó, Epasa, and Renováveis, which are followed by the financial expenses of these investments that were over the construction period, we have the grace period for these financial expenses up to the moment they are started up. So here we already see the financial expenses of these investments already occurring on a current basis. And besides, we see the increase in charges and debt and update of debt with the acquisition of Gentus, and 58 million. And on the other hand, the 49% increase in our financial expenses, we had a 50.1% increase in our financial revenues, exactly because we had more cash during this period, and we had a 76 million real increase, therefore. And between the 131 of the expenses, the 76 in revenues gives us 56 of deterioration in the financial results. And besides, we have a 12.1% increase in depreciation and amortization, very clearly because of the startup of new investments for the Chapecó, Epasa, and CPFL Renováveis. And the plus was the change in legislation regarding the PIS/COFINS credit on depreciation, and 15 million favorable impact, and 18 million in the increase of social contribution and income tax, which we already had during this quarter, an increase in the use of the fiscal credit, tax credits, 18 million reals. So the increase in income tax and social contribution was 8 million reals, and the improvement was 18. So 35 in 2011, so the variation is 18 million reals, or almost twice. An important operation in the sense of cash preservation. With this, we justify the growth of 22.6% on the basis reported of our net income for Q4 of IFRS year on year. Now, let's go to page number 12. And see the destination of our net income, 758 million reals we proposed in terms of dividend payout, 7.1% dividend yield, and since the IPO, Since September 2004, the company has been paying out 95% of its net income as dividends, and during this period, it was slightly higher than 9 billion reals, one of the most important dividend payers listed at the Bovespa. Now, on page 13, just to follow the acquisitions and the projects that are underway at the company, and namely in the renewables area. So the first consideration has to do with the Bons Ventos wind farm, which is already in operation. This is a snapshot of the site in Ceará, slightly higher than 1 billion reals invested, 157 megawatts installed. Startup was in 2008, in 2010, during these quarters that you see on the slide. And the asset is very important due to the proximity with assets owned by the group in the Ceará state, namely CIF, and because of the PPAs, the 20-year PPAs of Proinfa, 290 reais per megawatt hour. And we also made two acquisitions, one already meeting a strategy of diversification by the company. CPFL Renováveis has a different characteristic vis-a-vis all the other comparable companies. First is the diversification of sources of generation. So the company has a more balanced portfolio between wind, biomass, and SPPs. And this is a different characteristic from other companies of CPFL Renováveis. And another characteristic that is being developed is the regional diversification. The Atlântica wind farm that we acquired at the end of the year already diversifies the region. So you can see that we have wind farms in the northeast of Brazil and in the south of Brazil with this acquisition, 120 megawatts under construction with a PPA from August 2010 amounting to 147 reals and 44 cents per megawatt hour. So this diversification in terms of region is important, and I would like to remind you that in terms of biomass, we have been doing exactly the same. So we have biomass assets in the northeast, in the southeast region, and under construction in the south at the Ester plant with a long-standing relationship with CPFL, biomass in operation, with very important growth perspectives for growth, for volume, and some investments will be made in order to increase by 50% the volume produced by this plant in the next 10 years, installed capacity 40 megawatts, a PPA of 7 megawatts, average megawatts of the 11 of energy assured at 177 reals in 15 years, done in the LSA of 2007, and 4 average megawatts are being commercialized in the free market. And here, once again, it's important to see that we have wind assets in the northeast of Brazil, and in the south, we have biomass assets in the northeast of Brazil, in the southeast and the south that are under construction. We also have SPPs, mainly in the southeast and the south regions. So this is the second difference. And the third difference is the fact that all the assets of the company that are under construction or in operation have long-term PPAs. Over 80% of the PPAs are PPAs with the system, the Brazilian electric system coming from the auctions, and 15 to 20% of our PPAs are with CPFL Brazil with the free market. And on page 14, I would like to talk about the startup of our assets here. The next ones to be started up are by BioIP and BioPedra, which will start in Q2, financed by the BNDES with the IP in the free market, 95% concluded already. BioPedra with financed already, also by the BNDES, and the Santa Clara wind farm with a major capacity, 188 megawatts, financed by the BNDES as well. And this was our first operation in terms of the regulated market. in the year of December 2009, and the tariff 168.32 reais. At the time, it was 150 reais per megawatt hour. So the startup, 283 megawatts, being started up in 2012, 109 average megawatts, and part of that placed in the ANEEL auctions. In 2013, we continued to deliver our project, 348 megawatts over 144 average megawatts. The Salto Goiás SPP here in the LFA of August 2010 at 160 reais megawatt hour with an install capacity of 20 megawatts, and the two biomass TPPs, Copacana and Alvorada in Minas and Paraná, already with this diversification that we mentioned and already under construction, 8% started and with agreements with the BNDES already, and the two supplementary complexes of the Macaco Complex 1 and the Campo dos Ventos 2, both for Q3 2013, with over 100 megawatts each one of them, also commercialized in auctions of the system with the LER of August 2010, 133.7, and Campos dos Ventos and Macacos, 137.3. 883. Here we have the deliveries of 2014, 214 megawatts, 254, 138 Campos dos Ventos, operating in the free market, and the São Benedito complex for Q4 2014, an additional 116 megawatts already for an operation in the free market, a pioneer in the group. And with that, on page 17, we have the details of our CAPEX. The CAPEX, $8.3 billion for 5 years, $2.943 billion for 2012, and you see the breakdown of these operations. And here it's important to stress, especially regarding the consolidation of our operation of renewables, $2,943 includes 100% of the CAPEX that was announced by CPFL Renovables, $1,683, but CPFL, the group CPFL, has 63% of that. And on the same comparison basis, the $2,943 is something like $2,350 vis-a-vis $1,905 for 2011, and we continue to be very active in the growth of our distribution companies. $1,207 billion investment, conventional and renewable generation, $1,683 billion, and commercialization and services, $54 billion for the year and $230 billion for the period. Now let's go to page 18 just to give you details about our debt. A slight growth in Q4 coming from the CDI 4.3%. Our debt is decreasing consistently, and the breakdown you can see here, 59% CDI dropping slightly, coming from the growth in long-term interest rate, 34%, prefixed 4%, so 38% of our credit volume is the BNDES, and 3%, the IGP, the indexating factor of the pension fund, 3%. Because of that, our net debt closes the year at 10.7 billion reals with a cash availability of 2.7 billion reals. A debt EBITDA 2.84, and excluding the debt of the projects that are under construction and therefore do not produce EBITDA, would be 2.55 times. And the weighting is the same in the two agencies that cover CPFL. And finally, on page 19, just to tell you the performance of our stock, I had already said at the beginning, CPFL exceeding IEE and Bovespa in Ibovespa in Brazil and Dow Jones BR20 in the United States. So you can see that the performance of our stock is higher, and the average daily trading volume at Bovespa and New York Stock Exchange reaching 31 million reals daily, and it is the private company with the highest liquidity among all the companies listed. And on page 20, we are in the ISE index for the seventh consecutive year, and it has a very relevant participation in the electric sector, 29%. CPFL is one of the 13 companies that remained since the first edition in December 2005. And as I said before, it's a major presence, and the participation is 1.8% in the ISE. And I would like to conclude the presentation telling you about our satisfaction in receiving the Euromoney Best Managed Company in Latin America in the utilities area, utility sector. So together with my team, we are available to answer any questions that you might have. Thank you very much.
Starting now the Q&A session. If you want to ask questions, please press star 1. To remove your question from the queue, press star 2. Our first question comes from Diego Moreno from Merrill Lynch. Good morning, everyone. Just a question on acquisitions of renewable assets. I can see you're very aggressive when it comes to acquisitions, delivering a lot of M&As in the sector. So what is the group's views when it comes to future M&As? Is there a lot of room for new acquisitions, particularly with small groups? Or what about pro-infra assets or even assets that sold energy in the auctions that are not under construction or being depleted? Diego, thank you for your question. What we can see right now is there is still a lot of room for consolidation. This sector has been growing very recently, but was very diluted. So not only do we have assets, but these are small assets with no scale, and the outlook, according to investors, was to monetize after some time, once they were concluded. But they also consider assets. Some of you are familiar, the company is familiar with these assets, but they are delayed and we have a hard time to make them effective. And for each and every one of them, naturally, the company has been very selective in terms of opportunities. And we try to be very selective when it comes to the quality of these assets. And also the outlook in the future, if they make sense from the synergy viewpoint. Some of the operations that were announced, take for instance, wind energy in the Northeast. We've just announced that there is a possibility to have a joint management with our CIFI assets. Santa Lucia, for instance, is closer to Santa Catarina, so that allows you to have more efficient management of these assets, lowering costs, and by doing so, adding more value. So there is a direct relationship between the value of these PPAs and obviously when we compare them with what is being considered by current auctions. So there is a lot of opportunities. Think about the acquisition, Atlantico with PPA amounted to 175 reals megawatt per hour. Construction work has already started. And therefore, our level of return will be far more adequate compared to what we would have, for instance, in the current market. So the company is keeping an eye on it. It is very active. But we have a clear perspective, either by adding value because of the quality of the assets or also by the synergy that can be brought with the other assets in the group. Thank you. Our next question comes from Marco Severini, Itaú BBA. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Wilson. My question has to do with energy prices in the free market. Strong market, the spot, the price in the spot market is very high. particularly if we consider that we are still in the rainy season, 139 reals or 117 reals in the rain season. So what is your expectation vis-a-vis price in the free market? Do you believe that we can expect a recovery in these prices, particularly when it comes to the industrial activity? Please know that for commercial and residential, these activities are faster compared to industrial. So has anything changed, or are we still in the same scenario of surplus energy, prices in the free market going down? And maybe you could relate that with energy prices. What about this link, incentivize energy? Thank you. Marcus, thank you for your question. Happily, we have Fabio with us. He is our planning officer, and he can get into more details on these topics. So the first concept is, now we are in an atypical phase, going slowly. And that has an impact on the spot market prices, as you mentioned. Our expectation, be it for the so-called short to mid-term, is 103 on 110 reals for conventional and 120 to 130 to incentivized. But I'll ask Fabio to go into more details right now. Good morning. Your comment was quite interesting. Actually, this is an atypical time. Flow is lower than expected, but please know that storage is still in the expected range, around 80% in March, 80% of the useful rate for the interconnected system. So that will allow us not to have price spread in the dry season. And this closing rate is crucial for the other period, but we expect to have stable prices, and that's why we understand that the market prices are from 100 to 110 reals megawatt per hour. No, that was exactly what I wanted to know, but just another comment. What about the average? Do you think we should have higher thermal charges this year compared to last year? Well, we're already considering orders for operation purposes. So in 2011 was an atypical month. A lot of rainfall in March. It was very positive, and we closed 2011 well. So probably the agency will be working on this thermal dispatch. So that's the standard procedure in order to have the same figures in November. Thank you. Next question from Alexandre Kogaki, Citigroup. Good morning, Wilson. Good morning, everyone. My first question has to do with other revenues. We could see that you're not provision Piratininga collected value based on Abrades judicial process. So actually I have two questions. First, what is the amount of the provision? Had it occurred in Piratininga? In addition, maybe you could give us some more details on the process development, arguments, and the company's expectations. First question? Okay, no provisions. It would be 4 million reals, actually, and no provisions based on the opinion of the lawyers on the probability of success for the process, which is very high. So that's the reason why we had no provisioning. Okay, so the amount would be 4 million reals. Wilson, can you hear me? So can I ask a second question? What about investments? Wind farm Atlantica that were acquired early this year. I'd like to know if you could give us CapEx figures and also the conclusion of the process. Did you have any gain of scale through the process? Did you have a chance to renegotiate the agreement, or was CapEx already closed? I cannot share any information on CapEx, unfortunately. What I can tell you, though, is that this CapEx ensures rates of return that are equivalent to what we had in our farms when we started our construction work. And we did not close the project. We only closed the process upon acquisition. So the process is already concluded now. Got it. Perfect. Thank you. Next question, Marcelo Ganen from Oceana. Good morning. I have a couple of questions. My first question has to do with the figure that you mentioned about the impact of tariff review on Piratininga. If you work on the maths, we come to an impact by the full quarter around 30% in EBITDA for Piratininga. I'd like to know if this order of magnitude or impact can also be applied to Paulista and RGA distribution companies. The second question has to do with wind farms. So you're seeking this contracting in the free market through the commercialization company, right? In this case, you have a long-term agreement by the commercialization company, and sometimes it becomes shorter in the end, and you have the risk for the commercialization company when it comes to prices. So what about the scalability via commercialization in the free market for wind farms? Well, let me begin, Marcelo, by addressing the impact of Piratininga on other companies. Piratininga was the group company that had the highest market gain over 4 years. In other words, as we expected, it was the group company that theoretically was more affected by the review, as you mentioned, from 25 to 30%. The impact that we expect in other companies with lower market gains, that they only have the tariff review in 2013, ranges between 15 and 20%. And the total for the group will also be around this range. Piratininga's stake is lower than 15% for the whole group. So the largest companies should have lower impacts with lower market gains, and the review will only take place by 2013. The second topic about the wind farms. Well, to begin with, how should I put it? We were shy when it comes to making positions in the free market on a long-term basis for the group, price-wise. We have a bubble right now. Excess supply of wind energy, and therefore, prices are very low. We don't believe we'll be maintaining these prices on a perennial basis. In addition, we should also keep an eye on the volume that we are taking. And compared to the size of the market, it is very small. We had the chance to share this market, the incentivized energy market. This market is, well, the demand is not fully met. There is market speculation, but from 5 to 8 times the volume that we can see at CCE today. In other words, we do have our positions, and our stake is small when it comes to their renewables operation. As I said before, it is very small, around 15%. It is also broken down into wind farms, biomass, and small hydro plants. Our systems are high-end, so we can be very safe and sound when it comes to our positions. But the main remark has to do with the size of the market. Our position is very favorable when it comes to the growth of the market that is not fully met. But as to the demand, and that's what we offer, we are cautious enough and we keep an eye on our risk position. That's what we've been doing. Thank you. Excuse me. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to ask questions, please press star 1. We're closing the Q&A session. Would like to give the floor back to Mr. Wilson Ferreira Jr. for his final remarks. You may proceed, sir. Once again, I would like to thank you all for joining us. in this conference call for the fourth quarter? Just highlighting strategy right now. Over the last few years, the company has been very much focused on a very efficient, synergistic operation in distribution. There is no doubt that every 4 to 5 years we have the impact of the tariff review. As to this impact, in addition to the drivers already mentioned, we have to highlight the actions taken by the group in order to mitigate fully or partially this impact. Obviously, we are getting ourselves ready, not only through operating actions, but also corporate actions in order to face the process, which is a regular standard process related to our activities. So it is true that the impact of tariff review brings tariff down. And it's also true that the company should provide further efficiency in the market. Actions like the incentivized retirement program or to expand the shared service center actions in the group, now including financial activities. Other actions, such as the integration of technologies, particularly the so-called A Group, and connected to our labor force management, not to mention the integration of our zero-based budget as a basic tool for all the group's activities. So these are all actions that tend to add higher results for the group in years to come, so much so that we can synchronize and mitigate any impacts stemming from the tariff review. On the other hand, it is also important to highlight the actions taken by the group when it comes to renewables. Considering the projections for the future, that's the segment that grows faster when it comes to demand in Brazil, and that's very good for Brazil. It's a point of uniqueness. We have a very clean energy grid, which will become even cleaner when it comes to the development of these sources. We're very proud to say that we thought about these 3 to 4 years ago, and it takes about half the investments in the group. It's a new activity with a different perspective for growth, and we're absolutely committed in delivering these projects on a timely basis when it comes to our early forecast. So that's a very important topic, and we are very bullish about the future, be it because we believe Brazil's potential and particularly the potential of the areas and business we are currently involved in. And now, more recently, well, if we had a repetitive behavior or the same thing that happened with CDI costs in 2011 and 2010, then the bottom line would bring about 120 million reais better. So that's the view we have today. CDI, once again, is at one digit. If you think of a company that runs businesses in order to optimize its capital structure with the right diligence, it will also bring additional benefits to the group. So that's a very positive outlook for the year and also for the company's business. Thank you very much once again for joining us at this conference call. CPFL Energia's conference call is coming to an end. We thank you all for joining us. Enjoy the afternoon. Thank you.